Get ready for the Warrior Mindset with Willie the Bam Johnson Show, sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation. Pre-order Willie's new book, The Mental Commandments of Personal Safety. Visit our website, Elite Publications. Pre-order your copy today.
The Warrior's Mindset is about conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The Warrior's Mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Willie Bam Johnson's Warrior's Mindset. We know that Warrior's Mindset is all about the mind, body, and spirit. We try to take all the adversity that's facing, that we all are facing today, that we have faced in the past, and try to flip it. Use it as an opportunity to go forward and grow and be the best people we can possibly be. Our ultimate goal is to empower our families, our communities, and most importantly, our businesses by using the principles and concepts of the martial arts. Today, we wanted to talk, of course, still staying on the subject matter, the Warrior's Mindset, but Mr. Robert Ferguson, you know, someone that I've been knowing for a long time in the martial arts industry. He's been on the cutting edge for years and years, but recently, I mean, probably about two decades ago, he started really focusing on nutrition. And I think during these times, it's really important that we can get someone of his caliber to come in and really help us be able to fine tune, you know, our whole life, mind, body, and spirit, and bringing nutrition in there is a very important asset. Mr. Robert, can you say hello and give a brief intro to the people here?
Hello, everyone. And it's great to be speaking with you, Bam. You're right. We've known each other for a really long time. And you know, years ago, actually in 95, that's when I began to transition from what I was doing to helping people with nutrition, fitness, and of course, mindset. It's all part of the three-legged stool. And, you know, for those who are listening or learning about me for the first time, a short background is that I do have my undergrad is dietetics. I've been a personal trainer since my days in the Marine Corps. It goes back to 1986. And my master's in counseling psychology. So it's always been important to integrate mind, nutrition, fitness. And that's what I mean by the three-legged stool, because they're all equally important. And we've helped a lot of people lose a lot of weight, improve overall health, and maximize energy throughout the day. And my goal is to share as much information with you today to help as many people as possible.
So give them a little brief intro. You know, you created programs in the martial arts. It's one thing to be teaching and becoming a champion, but since I've been knowing you, you've been on the cutting edge of UFC, grappling, school ownership. Come on, stop being so humble, man. I know. Give me a little bit of that, please.
Well, you're right. I mean, I have created a lot of programs. So at one point when I was heavy into the martial arts as far as running a full-time school, et cetera. I had developed a couple of programs. One spoke to rape prevention, self-defense for women that did extremely well. And then two, I created one of the first programs that helped stand-up martial artists integrate modern-day grappling. And during that time, I became really good friends with the guy who created the UFC. It was two of them, a guy named Jorge and Gracie. I ended up doing a movie with him and a guy named Art Davey, who's credited mostly with creating the UFC. I was a judge on the UFC. And even today, you know, I see some of my work with Herb Dean. Herb Dean was my student for many years. And now he's one of the most visible and highly recognized MMA referees like around the world. So, yeah, we've been at it and for a long time. And then, you know, when I left the martial arts, I never left. But when I started working with my nutrition and weight loss, one of the first people on a national level that reached out to me was a guy named Fernando Vargas. Do you remember him, the boxer?
Yes.
Yeah. So Fernando had heard about the work I was doing and had reached out to me. And next thing you know, my first boxer was Fernando Vargas with a big HBO comeback fight. And then I was out there, and he loved the work and the things he was benefiting from as far as my nutrition and weight loss. And so then I started working with a whole bunch of other celebrated boxers, you know, from Lucia Riker, who's the lady who starred in the Real Million Dollar Baby, or the Million Dollar Baby, to the TV show called The Contender, which I was the nutritionist and the conditioning guy. I work with everybody from Stevie Forbes to Sergio the Latin Snake Mora to Samuel Peters. So, I mean, did really well in that space. But, you know, the ultimate goal was to create some type of program that could meet people where they are when it comes to nutrition and to health and fitness. And since the time I got into it, I've written 3 books on the subject, and I have I've done 3 evidence-based clinically proven trials. The first one was with the big insurance company called Aetna, and I just recently completed another one for Gateway. And in these trials, and what that means is that everything that we talk about is supported, substantiated by evidence. So as good as it's going to sound, we have a proven program that big insurance companies like, military likes, everyday regular people are benefiting from, and they don't have to overhaul their lifestyle. And during all that time, I don't know if you ever saw, but you know, I had the number one infomercial for about a year and a half. We sold millions and millions of programs, which means we helped millions and millions of people. So, I mean, I've done it all now, man. Everything from infomercials to regular TV appearances to writing books to working with celebrities from Toni Braxton, Chaka Khan, Ricky Lake, and the list goes on and on.
Well, I mean, I'm humble, brother, and I'm glad that, you know, we always been, like, close I in spirit. I mean, when I call you, we talk like this, and, you know, we always had that connection. And when I seen what you were doing with nutrition, you know, I thought it was like incredible. And even when we talk about that mind part, you know, the name of the show is called Warrior Mindset. And I, you know, for people, you know, cause it's one thing that, like, you know, want to get in shape for the new year. It's one thing to want to be, you know, what is it? Someone that's selling a product, but it's another thing to want to help people establish a warrior's mindset, a mindset that allow you to stay committed to something that can transcend you and transform your life, especially during COVID-19. How important is having a strong mindset, Mr. Robert?
Well, I mean, for me, if we had to argue which is the most important, I would say mindset.
Okay.
Even though I said that they're all equally important. Because if you can't get your mind right, it's very difficult to get your body tight, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yes.
And so mindset, as you know, like we talked about Tiger Woods, is it his ability to jump higher than everybody else? Is it that he could bench press and lift more weights than other people? Is it mindset? And a lot of people would say that's his gift. Same thing with Michael Jordan. If you go back and you read the works of, you know, the famous legendary Bruce Lee, mindset is going to be key, you know, how you look at things. So to me, mindset is everything. And that's probably the thing that makes it the most difficult for people to be successful, whether it's COVID or just regular everyday life. Like, think about it. Like, most people know that it's healthier to drink more water than to drink more soda.
Yes.
But yet they're not doing it. So it's not that they don't have the knowledge. There's something blocking them from doing it. So is it biological? Is it, you know, a physical component to it? Or is it, you know, they just can't get their head wrapped around making those types of shifts? Mm-hmm. So I think if you read all the books and you have all the knowledge, but you don't have the mindset, you just know more. Doesn't mean you're going to do more.
So I guess we have a big percentage of people that are procrastinators. They got the knowledge, but they just don't move on. They don't take action, or they waiting for that perfect moment. What do you say to people? Because that seems like 80% of the people that are like procrastinating, and they don't even realize they're procrastinating, but they're just waiting for the right time. They got to get one more piece together.
Well, you know, if you look at, like, if you talk to the average woman who's done many diets in comparison to men, they will, as they talk about it, you will see that they gear up to diet. So they have to get themselves in a mental state to go through the pain and discomfort that most people experience when they want to lose weight, right? You start thinking about what you're going to avoid. You think about the restrictions that come with it. So it takes them a while to build up that. And the unfortunate part is that they don't have to do that.
Right.
You really don't have to give up the foods that you really want to eat. You really don't have to make too many changes. It's just a matter of having the knowledge, the understanding of how to eat foods in a way that's their healthiest way, and you can get results. But we're so conditioned mentally to diet that they can't see the freedom that I'm offering.
And that's interesting, because I know, as serious as you have been in the martial arts and even been in the military, I mean, I don't claim to be an expert, but I always, you know, tried to eat to the best of my ability. I was a vegetarian at one time. You know, that was by choice, not because I was trying to go on a diet, but it just seems like somewhere something happened in recent years where there's always these diet pills and this diet program. And, you know, it's like, I mean, what has happened that, like, put people through through self-imposed torture?
Well, I mean, you go back and you look at, like, the more you understand history, the less likely you will find yourself repeating the things that we don't like, right?
Okay.
So the first question I asked people, I said, how do we get to a place where we diet? And when you go back, not even 120 years ago, they weren't even talking about calories. And then in the early, 1900s, there was a woman by the name of Dr. Lulu Peters, who was the first person to write a book and kind of talked about calories. And what she would do is she would say, when you eat cake, don't just eat cake. What you do is you eat 100 calorie cake, or you have 50 calories strawberries. And so calories were new, and they watched her lose all this weight. She had a number one best-selling book. And then all the medical books, and this lady was a physician, started talking about calories in, calories out. And right after that, they discovered the first vitamin. Right after that, I mean, this is all fairly new. And then, you know, you fast forward, everybody was talking about losing weight. But at the same time, in the 40s and 50s, you would watch a breakfast commercial, and they're eating bacon, eggs, you know, pancakes, hearty breakfast, and they're smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward, you go, okay, so how do we get to this place, like, with the confusion with labels? Like when I was a little kid, you could buy the Snickers bar. It didn't have nutritional facts on it. All of that came about in 1990.
Okay.
So then you had in 1984, the deregulation of supplements. Next thing you know, supplements were everywhere. Like, the first protein powders I consumed didn't taste good. And they were, they were promoted and sold through all the muscle magazines.
Right.
Well, and then if you look at, like, in 1980, when we started condemning as a country fat, like, everything was horrible, right? Like, we went from whole milk to non-fat milk, to skim milk, to 1% milk, to reduced fat, low fat. So fat became the negative. And from 1980, you see an increase of heart disease. You see an increase of a whole bunch of lifestyle-related diseases that are all linked to increased obesity. And it's only gotten worse. And so you have people, let's say, over the age of 50, when they look at losing weight, they think fat is the problem. If you look at people under that, they think carbs is the problem. And then you have, like, a cross-section of all of them. So everyone's complaining and frustrating and blaming, but no one's taking the bull by the horns and saying, okay, it's not carbs, it's not fat, it's not protein. How do we learn how to eat? And the government confuses things, so no one's really teaching anyone how to eat. And our people just aren't informed. Every 5 years since 1980, the U.S. dietary guidelines are updated and revised. And we just had the new one. And for the first time since they've been putting out the U.S. dietary guidelines, they gave recommendations on how to feed a baby under the age of two. So all these years, there's been no guidance, no instruction on how to feed a one-year-old. It was assumed that everybody breastfed. Well, everybody don't breastfeed. And there was no guidance. And now they finally provide guidance. And if you think about that, you go, okay, well, we're just walking around blind. Like, no one knows. You know what I mean? Like who's teaching us? And that's where my program and the coaching program is so powerful, is that it actually teaches you how to eat all types of food. So now it's culturally friendly, right? So I could be in a room with somebody who's Polish and they want to eat a Polish dish, Mexican, Puerto Rican, soul food, and we can all break bread and eat what we all want to eat, but yet eat it in a way where we're able to lose weight and get healthier.
And it's interesting. I mean, first of all, the one thing you hit me with is lifestyle. That term right there in martial arts was always about a way of life. To me, that's the same as a lifestyle. But many people don't want to make that lifestyle change. I mean, how important is that? And everything that you were saying, you said like not diet, but lifestyle change. And for some people might not even understand what that is, because sometimes I think we say we know, but we don't know. How can you help the listeners understand what a lifestyle change is?
Well, you nailed it. It's funny, like in 2001, when I was writing my first weight loss related book, I remember like questioning everything that I was writing in the book, and then questioning it again and questioning it again. And so it made me look at the words that were being used. And one of the things that I noticed after writing 110,000 words is that I didn't want to judge anybody. So I didn't want to come across using words like should. It was mostly about opportunities, right? And so lifestyle was a word that stood out because it literally means your whole way of living, okay, which would touch on mindset, nutrition, what's my physical activity like, what's the stress factors like in my home, who are my friends, like everything that I think and touch is my lifestyle. And nutrition is a big part of that. I mean, even Hippocrates, you know, the first modern day, you know, physician, or 2000 years ago, when he was referring to weight loss or health, he said that, you know, all disease begins in the gut, which we now know to be true. And he talked a lot about, if you're going to eat that much, then make sure you balance it out with activity. So everything's been taught, but yet we still don't know how to do it, which is mind blowing. And the craziest part, right, is that a lot of the weight loss leaders in the world, let's say they write a book in 1995, then they write a different diet in 2005. And then these same people come out and write another diet in 2015. Well, what you sold us 20 years ago, that's not good anymore. Because the leaders go with the trends. They go with the marketing. They write and teach based on what people are willing to buy. So money is leading everything. Whereas like exactly what I was helping people understand in 2000, 2005, 2010, today is the exact same thing. Why? Because it's science. There's no flip-flopping. There's no, all right, this month I'm believing we go intermittent fasting. And next year, you know what? I think keto is the way. I'm not going to do that. And the sad part is that everyone just keeps buying from these same people. If Dr. Oz says intermittent fasting is good, then it's good. Next week, he may say keto's better. And then everybody flip-flops to keto. It's like we're like codependents. We got our eyes covered. We just are following blindly and not questioning anything. And that's why we're stuck in this rut. Nobody really knows until they're empowered and giving real knowledge to be able to like eat the way they want to eat, the foods they're going to eat in private, but eat them foods and be active in a way that works for them and helps them not only get healthier and lose the weight, but keep the weight off.
What was interesting too, and thank you about that clear, you know, just helping people understand the lifestyle. I mean, you talking changing people, places, and things. Yeah, I mean, this just is everything. I mean, when you talk about recovery, you talk about, I mean, anything that talks about transformation, it talks about all those things. But here we go again. Another thing that came up is like, and this has been a norm, especially in underprivileged communities. There's a billboard. And when you said cigarettes in a commercial, remember when you go back and look at some of those old commercials, they were smoking so much in those commercials, man. I was like, did you see them just chain smoke like that in a movie or something? But I guess it's like advertisement that plays on people's, what can a consumer do to break that? What can you say to a consumer to tell them to stop right now? Look at what's happening. Look at what they're feeding you. How can you take control of yourself and take action on what's right and stop allowing these subliminal things from advertisement and now social media to have you unconsciously into doing stuff that you don't want to do and eating what you don't want to eat?
Well, I mean, it's tough. You know, it comes down to education. Like, I'll give you an example. When I would be in the big room with these big companies, and they would say, okay, so Robert, how are we going to reverse childhood obesity and get people healthier, like under-resourced communities, like everybody? And I said, well, one of the biggest challenges is that the uninformed, which is most people, are being influencer-led by the misinformed. So, for instance, if you take the average karate instructor, right, martial art instructor, that person is a person of influence over the people who are their students.
Right.
And so the students are looking to them for guidance. So if a martial art instructor comes out and endorses a way of eating that, you know, they believe in and maybe they're selling, then those students are going to give that program a real opportunity just because of who it's coming from. The same thing for a Instagram influencer. If they say this program works, then people are just kind of going, I'm going to give it a shot because of that person is influencing me. Well, that doesn't mean that person's like fully informed with the real truth. And that's what I mean by misinformed, because oftentimes we will, it's kind of like if I was working with you, then you would say, okay, Robert, so how does the program work? And I go over the program, right? And then you start making the program. So you respect me and you just assume, okay, I respect him. He's done his research. This is a good program. Well, remember, we're evidence-based. And that's to be like appreciated and respected, because it's no longer my opinion on if my program's good. It's been proven on 3 different occasions that, you know, our program works. It's verifiable. It's validated. And you can duplicate it. So I could come to Maryland and our program is going to work the same way it worked when I was in Missouri doing a study. And I just did one in Pennsylvania. It worked. You had people who were Puerto Rican, people from various ethnicities, and everybody got amazing results. And that's evidence-based. And that's what our people and all people need to do, is cut through all the confusion. Don't be quick to listen to just anyone. Question everything. And inside of, let's say, a week, if you eat 3 meals a day, at the end of the week, that's 21 meals. At the end of the month, that's 84 meals. If you've done that 84 times in 30 days, you now have the knowledge of eating foods in a way that gets the results. So it's really giving people the education. And then through their own experiential, they will see the scale improve. They will see their body composition get better. And remember that and hang on to that. And don't fall for the next fad diet when you have a personal experience of applying newfound nutrition education in a way that gets you the results. And it's also something that you can live with. You can eat fried chicken. It's just a matter of, like, make sure you use the right oils. And you understand that it's not as bad as, you know, some people have made it appear to be. You know, it's like when I did the Steve Harvey show on the side, I was like, Steve, did you know that, you know, the fat inside the skin of the chicken is primarily unsaturated fat, which is the healthy fat? And he was like, I had no idea. I said, yeah, because most people think that the fried chicken don't eat the skin because the fat is not healthy fat. But if you go Google what I just said, you're going to go, wow, this brother was telling, I mean, okay, I didn't know that. But think of all the people who think that's bad fat. I mean, you wouldn't throw out the fat that you get from salmon. So why would I throw out the fat that I'm consuming through the skin of a fried chicken?
And sometimes you said, like, you know, the people that are in positions of power, like martial arts school owners, and, you know, it's almost like, and I hate to say it, man, it seems like even though you know you're increasing the death rate of obesity over dollar bills, or you're taking advantage of people just so you can make a money in some scheme with pyramid plan, you're not really trying to fix the problem. You're just trying to profit from the problem.
Is that
what we're saying here?
Yep, that's exactly what we're saying, and that's what you can see. You know, it's like a lot of people watch Dr. Phil's show, and then they have a show called The Doctors, right?
Yes.
So 2 points I'll make with The Doctors. The first time one of the producers learned about me for The Doctors, they wanted me to come on the show, and they said, hey, what would you like to do? What would you like to talk about? And I said, I have a really good idea. And so I sent it to them, and the producer loved it. And it was all about showing people how to eat soul food, like foods that are typically forbidden, mm-hmm. fried foods, but in a healthier way. And another producer liked it. And so they're like, this is going to be great. And they said, well, we'll get back to you to book the day for you to come on the show. So a few days later, they call back and they go, hey, we have a little bit of a problem. And I said, what's the problem? They said, well, we want to have you on the show, but we want you to change your messaging. I said, what do you mean change my messaging? They said, well, we do over 200 shows a year and we talk about weight loss. And all of our doctors, all of our hosts are 100% against fried food. And it wouldn't look good to have you come on the show and show how to eat fried food when we've been condemning it. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so I didn't go on the show. Well, they had come back to me, or before that, they also were interested in doing a book with me. And so what they would do, and they've done this with some other authors, they'll have an author come on. And I think they did one called The 17-Day Diet or something. And they own that book, but they don't disclose that to the audience. So they take someone who's the pawn, or the person in front that is going to be the author. They bring him on the show and they pump him up, but they own that book. So they're promoting a book, they're promoting an author, and no one knows that they're also the publisher.
Who do you
believe?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, unless you're informed, you'll just believe anything. I mean, people saw that with politics. Depending on what station you're watching will depend on the information you're going to get. And most people suffer from confirmation bias. We all do, which means that I'm not going to watch Fox if I'm 100% following the beliefs of CNN.
Right.
I want to watch what's in alignment with what I want to be real and what I believe is true, instead of facing the truth.
So, you know, tell people a little bit more about what you offer. What I have seen and what I heard people on some of your interviews and even your book, it seems like you didn't help people. You're helping people find a way to eat healthy and help combat this obesity situation, along with all the other components, but in a manner that's not going to take them broke, in a manner that's affordable. Most people say, man, I can't do this, cost too much money, man. I got to spend an extra couple of $100 or $1,000 on top of my regular, you know, bill for shopping for food. How can I afford that?
All right, well, let me give you an example. And I get like a lot of my colleagues that get frustrated and upset with me when I share what I'm about to share. And that's because they lack empathy and the ability to meet people where they are. Right. So to meet someone where they are is like what you said. I go into the hood and I start talking about nutrition. All they're thinking about, because this is what they've been told, is that I got to start going to different grocery stores I'm going to spend a little bit extra money. I'm going to eat foods that I typically don't eat. You know, like when I was, I mean, I didn't eat salmon until I was 22 years old. I never even heard of salmon. When I thought fish, it was, you know, fried catfish. And so that was at 22. So I remind myself of that. And I realize that there's still a lot of people that have never eaten a lot of different types of foods. And when they think of getting healthier, they do associate healthier with spending money. Well, if you go into almost like any like college dorm, a lot of college students who are tight with funds are eating Top Ramen, right? And Top Ramen, I can get like a little cup of it for 25 cents. Well, if you go in the military, they're eating Top Ramen. If you look at
those, the noodles, yeah, that you can buy. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, like the ones that, you know, microwavable.
Gotcha. Okay.
You can microwave, you could, right? So you got these noodles. If you look at NASA, they eat those noodles, but they're still considered a poor man's noodle, right? Military, we ate them. Well, I could create a meal with noodles that will cost about 80 cents, and it would be a balanced meal because I know how to do it, and all of my students and people who get our program, they learn how to do it. And so, like, for instance, if you take the noodles, we call that a fast carb. That's the same as if I had spaghetti, any other type of pasta. And then I'll get, like, some dogs, hot dogs, and that'll be my protein. Now, depending on the room that I'm in and depending on the person who's listening to that when I say hot dogs, some people go, oh, come on, man, I can't eat no hot dogs. Then someone else goes, okay, now we're talking. But hot dog is just a general term, right? If you go to Whole Foods, they have organic turkey dogs. They got chicken dogs. They got beef dogs. They got tofu dogs. You eat the dog that works for you. That's meeting people where they are. So that's my protein. So I got protein now. I got a fast carb. I add some tomatoes. Tomatoes are almost great for almost anyone. They're very affordable. They're, you know, good on people's teeth. Like, it's not too difficult for people who are getting older and having, like, you know, dental challenges. So that's what we call a slow carb. I add a little bit of cheese on there. That's my fat. And I just combine those foods to create a balanced meal that will be good on my blood sugar. I'm happy. It tastes great. And I'm able to lose the weight. Why aren't more people aware of what I just described? It's just a matter of as knowledge. We just got to get people educated.
Well, that's what I'm hoping that we can establish. I mean, and me and you've been talking about this for the longest time, but even through this show, I mean, I think, especially during COVID now, you know, many people doing what? You stressed out, you sit around and you eat. You eat what's available. You're just grabbing this and grabbing that. I mean, one another interesting topic that even as I'm bringing up that I think that just hit me. What do you call emotional binge eating? I mean, especially during COVID-19. I mean, can you explain that? Have you ever heard of that? Of course, I know you did. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Well, COVID, you know, has put people in it's created a lot of challenges, right? Alcoholism has increased significantly. Food insecurities, which ties into emotional binge eating, has increased significantly as a result of mental health challenges, depression. People are still confused when it comes to, like, what can I eat to be healthier during this pandemic and COVID? Like, how do I consume the supplements? There's still so much confusion. But emotional eating can be framed around the thought that we eat and act based on what we think, not necessarily what we feel, right? It's the feeling that is part of the outcome, but it's the thinking that sets everything up. So again, that's why mental health, I'm stressed out. We haven't had that much food in the house. Now we just got some food. So everybody kind of overeats the food that you have because they don't know when you're not going to have it, which is food insecurity. So there's so much. I mean, relationships are breaking up. Domestic violence is higher because people are spending more time together. They're stressing over the money. And where you find some comfort through all of the ups and downs and the challenges mentally, et cetera, is eating. You know, food is a celebration of life. You know, you want to like not think about, you know, certain things. You either turn to alcohol or some other drug, or you turn to food. I mean, I totally get it. And it's the structure that we're missing, you know, and that's what people need. And structure meaning like, let's say like with our program, Diet Free Life, a person, you know, learns that, okay, I'm going to eat this way. I'm going to eat this frequently. I'm going to eat, you know, foods in this combination based on what I have. And it's that structure that helps them. When you don't have structure and you're just kind of like, just kind of floating, then you can find yourself eating and doing and not doing a whole bunch of stuff. That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. You hit, I want you to pull out a couple of points, but one of the things when I teach kids that you brought up, I call it structured fun. I try to have structured fun with the kids, but it's structured because without structure, you know, it's chaotic and without that, we just do whatever we want to do. So I'm glad you emphasized that because we need that structure in our lives. But for people right now, because a lot of times we beat around the bush, we go past the truth because it might not sell well. You know, it might not give us a new contract. Or, I mean, I'm so desperate for money or saving my business that I'm not going to tell them what they need to know. I'm going to tell them what they want to hear, the good stuff. So if you could list seven like tragic things, like you talked about, like obesity and drug addiction, how can you, and if you could list them in the order, what are some of the most devastating things that we are dealing with during this COVID-19 along those lists of negatives, like drug addiction, alcoholism, and things like that?
Well, I mean, that's a big question. So these are things that come to mind as you're asking that question. We're not supplementing. Like you hear people and the media talking about vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc as a way to help prevent COVID and to help people thrive through COVID. We know that African-Americans are disproportionately dying at a much higher rate than, you know, Caucasians and any other ethnicity when it comes to COVID. And a lot of that is now associated with, and is also part of what they call the causation, is being vitamin D deficient. And so we know this, but yet you don't see any structure around it. So people run out, right, and they start buying supplements. They go to a GNC or a vitamin shop and they buy vitamin D. Well, who's telling them how much vitamin D to take? The guy at the over-the-counter, because they're not prescribing it from the CDC. You know, none of these leaders are talking about exactly how much to take, but they talk about it. So let's say you get vitamin D and you take it. Well, vitamin D is not a vitamin. It's actually a hormone. And hormones are totally different than vitamins in the body. And it is vital, but it's a hormone. Well, if you don't consume vitamin D with food, specifically with an adequate amount of fat in the food, then vitamin D is not absorbed. And nobody's talking about that. And if you look at, you know, like the one black lady in Indiana who is a physician, she goes in and she's got COVID and she goes on Facebook and she talks about how she's being mistreated. Eventually she was able to say they got her out of that hospital and she died shortly after that. When she was in the hospital, I doubt if they were giving her vitamin D. I doubt if she got instructions even as a physician to take vitamin D with food. And look what the outcome was. Then you have, you know, zinc. Zinc must be consumed with food also. And it must be consumed with what they call polyphenols. So that's like foods with color, right? So polyphenols is what helps give strawberries the color red and blueberries the color blue and bell peppers the different colors. Well, if you're not consuming zinc with food and veggies, basically, then you're not absorbing zinc. So look at all the people who are spending all this money on supplements, but they really don't understand, and no one's telling them exactly how to make the most of it. So who's at fault? And we could do that across the board, right? It's like vitamin C is water soluble, you know, meaning if I take too much of it, I'm just going to urinate it out, sweat it out, number two it out. And that would be the first sign to check to make sure, like, okay, well, if you're going to the restroom a little bit more, or your stool is a little bit more runny, then you're taking too much vitamin C. And vitamin C should be split up in the day. But again, turn on the TV, man, and no one's sharing that information. Most of the time, they don't know it. So they're just, you know, repeating what everybody else knows. And that means little to no progress. So we're not even in a position, because we lack the knowledge, to make the most of our situation during COVID. You know, so it's the same as who's teaching the husband and wives that are spending more time together how to cope with the stresses of becoming a teacher because of virtual schooling, dealing with the stresses that the kids are experiencing, not being able to see their friends and the challenges that go with that. I mean, this world is turned, everything's turned upside down. And you're starting to see, like, a lot of people are falling prey to it, man. And it's going to be tough for them to get out of this rut.
And you hit on, and I think when I was talking to you earlier about your program and what we were trying to do as we move forward. But the thing that it goes back again, it's like you have these business owners. They just don't care. They just trying to sell you whatever. I mean, it's like people just, I mean, you got people calling you. I'm saying you're calling me trying to sell me some new health kick, some new health plan, some new this, saying, man, this is what everybody in so I can save my business. I mean, and I know you're not frustrated, but it seems like because of your passion, it is a little frustrating when you see that I'm doing all this work and I'm trying to help people, but it just seems like I'm alone on this journey. I don't have the people that can help make this shift behind me. I mean, it's, I don't even know how do you answer that? How do you fix that? What do we do?
Well, you know, I'll give you, here's an example, because it does feel like a slap in the face. Something happened the other day. Someone who's known me for a while, they follow my work, and they called me and they said, hey man, I'm so upset and frustrated. I go, about what? They go, I'm trying to get this weight under control. And I was watching this TV program, and I end up spending $83 on this program, and this is not what I want. And I'm like, okay, well, what are you talking about? And he said, well, I bought into this keto program, right? And so keto is the number one searched diet for 2021. Number two is intermittent fasting, and number three is paleo, all diets. Well, this person I'm talking to is a woman in her mid-60s. And I shared with her, I said, did you know that doing keto at your age and your situation increases mortality over 20%? And she goes, what do you mean? I said, people who do keto, like you, are dying earlier than if they had never done keto, they would have lived a little longer. And she goes, oh my goodness. I go, yeah, keto's not for you. It's not. And most people can't do keto. Scientific keto is extremely difficult to do. And if you're a woman over the age of 40 and you want to totally throw your hormones off, you want to make the rest of your life one of lacking quality, then do keto. Keto is not for someone who has weight to lose. Keto is not for the average woman. Now, if you're a fit young man, you're hitting the weights really hard, or a woman, and you start pushing and talking about keto, even intermittent fasting, okay, I get it. It's all going to work out for you for the moment. However, as you mature in life, and lean muscle tissue and bone density is important, overall health is more important than being able to have a six pack of abs, you're not going to be doing keto. So keto increases mortality, not a good thing. Intermittent fasting is just structure. is telling someone, okay, when you wake up, don't eat until this time. That's structure. So people are doing it, but, and they're saying they're losing weight and it's working for them. I go, you just put yourself, you just get yourself some structure. And how long is that going to work? When are you going to go on a vacation and want to eat breakfast with the family? Right. You know what I mean? Like, when are you going to like want to go back to normal? Because you are going to go back to that norm.
Right.
And any weight you lost during all those fads, you're going to gain that weight back.
So, you know, for the people, as we're closing out here, for the people, you know, because I've seen, I mean, I your infomercial, man, I just get excited when I see Monique and I see all those people, you know, that, you know, they're just rah-rah and they support, you know what you're doing and what you represent. And I feel like it's just a simple, easy way for a lot of people, you know, once again, not to complicate a lifestyle change, but a simple way to just make the best of your circumstances. How can people get involved? How can people find out more about you or reach out to you to ask more questions that might be you know, listening in?
Well, we have a free newsletter. So if they went to dietfreelife.com, they could find out more for themselves. A person could find out more, like if they wanted to become a coach. We actually train coaches to do what we do and help them succeed. Our coaches do really well. You know, like our coaches are generating somewhere between $10,000, $15,000 a month helping people. That's a comfortable lifestyle. Make your own hours. I mean, it doesn't get any better. And it's just, the difference is that we have structure with how we help people. We have structure with the curriculum. We have structure with the marketing. It's all built in and it's evidence-based. So I can go to churches. I can go to big companies. I can go to hospitals. And just because we have our, what we call a white paper, and we have all of our data, they welcome our program. You know, like I don't even market anymore, right? Most of my coaches don't. We have, you know, experts who work with, you know, doctors who are experts with diabetes. They send patients to us all the time. We have nurses and doctors who have people who mention weight. They send them to us all the time. And we don't pay for that. You create a network. People are looking for something that makes sense. The doctors believe in what we've done. And boom, they just start showing up. And you start helping people. And you sleep really well at night because you're not just taking advantage of people. You're not just selling another lie. You're selling education in the form of a program that helps them get results. So Diet Free Life, you know, I'm on all the social medias, but yeah, reach out. We have something for everybody, free programs, services, et cetera.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you, man. You know, once again, I mean, for all the, you know, things that you are doing, I love your program. Once again, I know we're going to figure out how to make this work without what we're doing so we can impact these kids. Because I know, I mean, before we went into this, we were losing kids at a rapid rate. I mean, we can imagine how many we're going to lose. We're losing now. And then when we go back, some not going to come back from this.
That's true. And yeah, and weight has gone up for these kids. Like, you know, a lot of people have gained even more weight during COVID. And everybody's frustrated. They're trying to figure out ways, which, you know, when you're frustrated, that's when you become vulnerable, right?
Right.
It's like you would never spar or fight from a place of this frustration and anger. You want to be in that place where you can rationalize and see everything for what it is. And then you can make decisions that are going to help you, you know, optimize your situation. And when people are gaining weight and feeling frustrated and just want to get that weight off and they want to get healthier, they become prey. They become prey to basic marketing. And I get it. And I feel for them because they do want to get healthier. They just don't. A lot of people don't know that we exist. And so thank you for like giving me a platform to share and reach even more people to learn about Diet Free Life, because they just don't know. They just don't know we even exist. There's another way. And so I appreciate that. And I look forward to us quickly coming up with something so we can reach more people.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the martial arts community, but even what I said with Point of Rate, where our goal is to go back to these communities, that kids are not turning on the Zoom. The kids are not, you know, they think school is out for a whole year. Let's have fun, you know, and if we can reach them plus more, we can, you know, at least contribute to a process of turning some people's lives around. So thank you, my brother. Have an awesome day.
You too, man. Thank you. I appreciate the conversation, as always. Sir.
And we'll be talking real soon today, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Be blessed.
You too, man.
All right.
Bless you.
Yes, sir.
The warrior's mindset is about conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The warrior's mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.